we continue our study on this series of messages, Balm for the Weary. And we have begun this study of Psalm 119, consisting of 176 verses, acrostic, meaning that it is divided into 8 verses, with each of the 8 verses beginning with the consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And today we are at verse 65, and our devotion, preparation for hard times, part 4. We have seen from the first 40 verses how the psalmist extols the usefulness, the profit that he derived from the Word of God as he took time to imbibe it in his heart, as he took time to assimilate it in his life. He receives great strength for life, and he experienced the blessing of God. And he, you know, we were mentioning that was crying throughout the psalm. It seemed that life has been so tough and difficult for him, and yet his testimonies for us is that in those difficult times, when we feel so inadequate, when we feel so needy, we can come to God and we can find hope, we can find help, we can find strength in the Word of God. And that was the psalmist's experience. He took time to be with the Lord, and the Lord was able to give to him strength and able to provide for him what he is needful for his life. And that's why he was able to describe from verses 41 to 96 the blessing, the blessedness of walking with God. You see, you first have to imbibe the life of God in you, and then you would experience the life of God with you. And from verses 41 to 96, he saw how the Lord delivers him, how the Lord comforts him, how the Lord loves him. Today we are going to see 4 other aspects of God's dealing with his children. How the Lord chastens him, disciplines him. Right? A taboo word. We all don't like to be disciplined, right? Because we all like to we like to be said that we are doing well. Right? But you would see here how in the life of God's people, the process of reproof is so needful for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how God molds us, God helps us, God upholds us. So we're going to see from verses 65 to 96, the psalmist's experience. He says in from verses 65 to 72, how the Lord chastens. And he says in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Before we were afflicted. Well, what is the psalmist talking about? Well, he speaks here of God's chastening hand in his life. And we want to observe, right, that God, because he is a good father, he will always seek to help his children walk in the path of blessing and not the path of cursing. And so when we would choose to stray, The Lord will also intervene to bring us back so that we are back on the right track. And sometimes we don't like it. We can remember the experience of Peter during that time when Christ was betrayed to be crucified. How Peter was so bold to say to all that, "Lord, others may deny you, but I never will." But the Lord said to him, before the cock would crow thrice, you would have denied me thrice. The Lord said that when you hear the cock crow, you would know that you have failed me. And indeed it was true. When Christ was tried, Peter experienced a most trying situation. He was challenged by the people who approached him, and they questioned his position in the Lord. And he said, "I don't know who is Jesus Christ." And then what happened? The cock crew. And he remembered the words of the Lord and how he wept so bitterly for failing the Lord. And after Jesus went to the cross, he died, he rose again from the dead, and how the Lord appeared to him. And at the Sea of Galilee, how the Lord restored him. What did the Lord do? Well, the Lord said to him that 3 times, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my lambs." 3 times the Lord said to him, "Do not deny me anymore." And Peter realized how weak he is. He could only say to the Lord, "Lord, I will." But, you know, "I know I can't, but by your grace, I will." This was Peter, how the Lord enabled him. When the Spirit of God came to him to fill him, and he learned. And he may say together with our psalmist, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I kept thy word." He was willing to go even to the cross, to suffer death, not to deny his Lord. So difficult. Not easy, isn't it? When you are faced with threats, when you are faced with all sorts of pressures, so easy to crumble, so easy to succumb to the pressure. But if you know what the Lord would want you to do, then you know, there is that calm and stillness and that confidence and boldness to continue to stay on with the Lord. So the psalmist testifies that before he was afflicted, he went astray, but now he keeps his word. It was through his affliction that he learned to hold in high regard God's law. You see, the Lord tells us his commandments. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How, when we spurn the commandments of God, who gets hurt? We get hurt. But how is it that there is still that tendency to sin against God? We see how weak we are, how we need the grace of God, how we need to learn. Sometimes we learn from our mistakes. We had to know what it is to fall, and then to understand the consequences of sin. And the next time when you are faced with that same temptation, what will you do? Well, the fear of God comes into your heart, and the fear of God would say to you, No, I don't want to go that way again. As Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so, though he was sorely chastened of God, he saw the good hand of God teaching him by experience how falling outside the boundary of his laws incurs his wrath. And we all need to learn, isn't it? And, you know, there is that battle that goes on within us when we become a Christian. The Spirit of God within us gives us that strength. Gives us that strength to take hold of the Word of God. Did not Paul say in the book of Romans, he said this at the end of chapter 8:7, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the death, the body of this death? Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the law of God in my mind, in other words, I serve the law of God. So we must remember to keep the word of God in our minds, in our hearts, so that we will not forget what is the will of God. And, you know, earlier on in verse 22 of Romans 7, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He says, I love your law. And I know how good it is. But he says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so, when we are not yielding to God, we yield to temptation, we fall, but we learn. Right? Affliction can come to us because of sin. They can also come to us as a test of faith. And we must not buckle under the weight of our afflictions, but continue to have faith and to do good. For I have believed, verse 66, he says, I have believed in thy commandments. He says that, God, you know how I ought to live my life. And so, if you look at verse 65 to 72, the words which appear to be highlighted, I put in bold, the words that are coming from the same alphabet that is put in the beginning of each of the sentence in the original, provides for us a picture. Right? Verse 65 is the word well. The verse 66, the word good. Then verse 67, before. Then verse 68, good again. Then verse 69, forged. And then verse 70, the word grease. And then verse 71, good again. And then the word better. What is it that he was trying to bring to us? He's telling us, you know, of God's good hand dealing with him. That we have a Father in heaven who cares for us, who loves us, who does all things for our good. So the book of Hebrews writes, it says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not. If you are a good father, you would want to make sure that your son goes in the right path. When he is going astray, you want to warn him. You want to lovingly show him the error of his ways. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, illegitimate sons. You know, we are true blue Christians, bought by the blood of Christ, sealed by the Spirit of God, and we are partakers of His holiness. And so the book of Hebrews says, now no chastening for the present seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. During the time of chastening, not a pleasant experience. But you see that after that, you find that, you know, you grow. You realize, you know, that there are certain things, there are certain directions, certain ways, certain things you must not do. It would hurt you ultimately, right? And the Lord show us the danger, and, you know, at times allow us to be burned, as it were, so that we would feel the pain. Then we know that that's fire, you know. Don't touch it. You haven't been burned before, so you know you just go near, and when you get burned, then you know that it's painful. It's no good to get burned. Okay? So, that's the first part, 65 to 72. The Lord chastens. Secondly, the Lord molds. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, that they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. So we said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he loves. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges anew, so that it may bear forth more fruit. That's the lesson of horticulture that we learn. Acknowledging God's hand in his life, the psalmist says in verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me, and therefore thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. The polishing of the rough ages will bring forth the gem that is in us, the image of the living God. And God wants to form the Christ in us, you see. And because God wants to form the Christ in us, therefore he allows us to go through sometimes we say a crucible. So the psalmist speaks of the merciful kindness and the tender mercies of God, that God was with him. He experienced what? A combination of the faithfulness and kindness of God that brings good to his people. And you see that our God is a God that does not do us harm. The proverb says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. God is so good. God's blessing. God doesn't bless you in front and then kill you behind. No, God is very straightforward. He blesses you, he blesses you straight away. And that is our God that we need to know and learn. And how, you know, the psalmist experienced such a God. His faithfulness and his kindness, and he is comforted as he undergoes the rigors of trials that come upon him, they enable him to press on and live and not falter under the weight of the trouble that befalls him. So, there was a writer, a Christian writer, of the four stages of Christian life. And this writer, he testified, he says, "I saw at Bremer, near the Queen's Castle at Balmoral, four emblems: a tree by the water, lilies of the valley, a vine in the process of pruning, and waving palms." He says, the four together represent the four stages of Christian life. First, growing through the truth. Secondly, blossoming into beauty. Third, undergoing chastisement. Fourth, joyful final triumph. And you would see that in the life of God's servant, they all go through a period of wilderness, difficult time, wintry time. But there's lessons in winter. There's also lesson for the summer, right? For each of the season, different. You experience the different climates and, you know, a different response. The Lord chastens, the Lord molds, and the Lord helps. Verses 81 to 88. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hoped in thy word." You notice from verses 81 to 88, he speaks about the distresses of life that causes him to be so hard pressed, and the words are given there in verse 81. The word there is fainteth. Verse 82, the word fail. Then verse 83, fall. He tells us what has become of him. And verse 84, how many during the time of trial, we would ask this question: how long, Lord? How long? How long? I cannot take it anymore. How long? Dick, he speaks about the trouble that he is in, the pitfalls of life that he has to avoid. Then he says, all. The message turns, right? When he comes back to God and his word, and he says that there is help. All thy commandments are faithful. And he says that there is a way out with God. Help thou me. And they said they had almost consumed me. But I forsook not thy precepts. Wow. It takes some courage. It takes some guards, spiritual guards, to be a thriving Christian. That's why God said to Joshua, when he was about to enter the promised land, repeated again and again, "Be strong and of a good courage." Why is it that the words of encouragement to be strong, to be of good courage, has to be given repeatedly? Because the battle is going to be so raging. The battle is going to be so fierce. And it threatens to undo us. And therefore, we see the danger. But the psalmist says that in the most trying situation, When he finds his soul fainting for salvation, it seems there is no help in sight. He says, "My eyes fail for thy word," verse 82. He cannot see how God's promise can be fulfilled under these circumstances. And he pleads to God to ease the pressure in his heart. So we see the words that is highlighted there. And the word fainter, the word fail, and all this, you know, to describe a desperate scenario where the psalmist kept faith despite the persecutions he received. And he says, "The proud have dig pits for me, which are not after thy law." He says, he cries, "Foul! But who can help?" But with God, well, all things are possible. And it has always been his experience when he hoped in God that God never fails. That's why he is willing to continue to wait upon God. Right? He says these words in Psalm 27, right at the end. He says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Unless I had kept faith and wait upon God, I saw it. I saw the glory of God. I saw the goodness of God. So here he says that he sought the Lord and he was importunate in his seeking of the Lord. We give to you here the example of Christ's words in Luke 18 in a parable. He says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." It is a necessity of law or command or duty. You ought to. And he says, to this end, to show the purpose, what he's doing, he's encouraging, exhorting, giving confidence in our heart that believers must always pray and not faint. At the end of the parable, he says, "When the Lord comes, will he find faith on earth?" The answer is no. That's a negative answer. Faith will be so rare during the days leading to the flood. Faith was very rare. Faith was almost non-existent. And we are told in the days prior to our Lord's coming again will be like those days before the flood, when men would be heavily involved in eating, drinking, giving in marriage, sexual pleasures. Isn't it the world today? Drunken. Totally drunken. If you can print money, it means that, you know, you don't need to work. You can continue to live a good life. But is it? Can it be forever? No. A time of reckoning is coming. And therefore, the people of God must, you know, wake up. And we must not be, you know, caught in that system of wantonness. Because we will get burned and we will get hurt badly. So, what do we do? Well, the people of God are to keep faith during those times when men don't want God. It is easier to choose not to stand for the name of Christ. Easier. And the parable tells us that indeed, during the most difficult, pressing time, this widow did not give up. She continued to persist. And who was she persisting with? The parable tells us, an unjust judge. A judge who will not, who would take bribes. A judge, you know, who would not mete out just sentences. Does she have a way out? No. Because in those times, right, the judges in Israel is the highest court, no appeal. And who else can he go to? Well, but to go to that unjust judge. But our Lord Jesus says, our God is just. We can go to him and he will help us. Right, so here we see how the Lord is a help to his people. And we must not be discouraged, but continue to wait upon him, continue to look to him, continue to call upon him. The Lord chastens, the Lord molds, the Lord helps, the Lord upholds. Verses 89 to 96. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. He says that the word of God, the promises of God's word sustained him. He's convinced that God's word cannot be broken because it is forever settled in heaven by the power of the Almighty God. And so he is willing to stick all with the Lord. I am thine, save me, he asks the Lord. He pleads with the Lord and he is convinced that nothing will go wrong with him if he allow God's word to order his life. So as he compares God's wisdom with the world's wisdom, he found the world's wisdom lacking. And God's wisdom, on the other hand, is very deep. And it is a manifestation of our perfect God. Jude said at the end of his epistle, the last one before the book of Revelation, and he speaks about falsehood, false teachers that crept into the church. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And we close with this illustration from the life of Hudson Taylor, the man who began the China Inland Mission, 1965. He went to China in 1953, 12 years earlier. And he described how life is so tough, especially during those last days of his life when he had no more strength. Here it is described, his last days. When Hudson Taylor was in the closing months of his life, he was so weak, he could do very little. And to his friend, he wrote, he says, I am so weak, I cannot work. I cannot read my Bible. I cannot even pray. I could only lie still in God's arms like a little child and trust. There are those times when we feel that we are shut in at a corner. No way out. Cannot find a solution. What do we do? Well, here the psalmist tells us that he did not give up on the Lord. He says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my afflictions. He was very clear. He knew that God was able to help him. And this is the kind of faith that God wants to build in the hearts of all his people. He wants us to experience him in every area of our lives, in every experience in our life. God does different things in at different times of our life, at different stages of our spiritual growth, and we can trust him to do all things well. He that has started a good work in you will surely finish and complete it, and we can be assured of his constant, abiding, unceasing care for our lives. And may we be willing to yield to his care, yield to his guidance, yield to his power. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for thy mercy. Thank thee for indeed showing us that there is hope, there is help in God. Lord, we pray that where we have sinned against thee, may thou be gracious to wash us of all our sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that thou would use thy people, mold them, help them, mold us, help us, that we may indeed be vessels of sanctified, vessels which are meet for the Master's use in these last days before thou would return. May thou bless thy word for thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.